Thanks for listening to the best of The Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We had a lot of trash talk this week from Kansas City's Tyreek Hill going up against Jalen Ramsey of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Going to be a fantastic game. Best game of the weekend, in my estimation. Two top teams in the AFC.
And you know what? You're right about that because you got that high-flying offense, right, with Patrick Mahomes. Yep. And then you got the best defense, one of the best defenses. So now you're going to really get a look. I mean, if he blows out the Jacksonville Jaguars, then you got to take a look at Mahomes. And if he gets stopped or slowed big time, then you'll say, okay, a little adjustment was made. So this is going to be one that, you're right, everybody's going to want to watch.
No question about it. And, you know, the matchup between Hill and Ramsey is one to watch, too. Ramsey, obviously, a top cornerback in the league, maybe the number one corner right now. And Hill's having a nice season. You know, he hasn't been all pro yet as a receiver, and Ramsey let him know that in his trash talk. But it started with Hill. Let's hear what he had to say about his matchup with Jalen Ramsey.
I mean, he's a great player. I mean, obviously, he thinks high of himself. So he's all right, I guess, you know. I mean, I can't wait to line up against him. And I hope he presses me.
Well, he's going to get his wish or his hope, whatever you want to call it, because Jalen Ramsey presses everybody physically and verbally, and he pressed back on Hill like this.
He's good for what he does for their team. You know, he made all pro as a return specialist. Let's get that right. As a return specialist his rookie year. He went to two Pro Bowls as a return specialist. Return specialist. 2 years, I made all pro in my position as a corner. Went to the Pro Bowl as a corner. So it's not a wide receiver versus corner matchup.
Ooh. You like that?
I love it. This is what's missing from sports because everybody wants to be buddy-buddy and pals. There's nothing wrong. Now, he's not being disrespectful, like, in a mean, negative way. He's just saying, he's calling out, hey, I'm a all-pro corner. He isn't an all-pro receiver that I'm going up against. Because he's not. He hasn't been an all-pro receiver. Right. Did he say anything that's not factual?
Nope. Straight
and
facts.
He got all facts, and he got the digs in, and I love it. That's what sports is about. And then you get to go out on the field and prove it, right?
I'm with you.
I love it too.
Yeah, I love this. I think, you know, I like both guys for speaking their minds. And Ramsey's got the best of him. There's no question. Ramsey also, I loved what he said. You know, I wish Hill would pick a side. Because remember, you heard Tyreek say he's all right, I guess. But then he also said later that he's the top dog right now at the cornerback position. So Ramsey was like, hey, which one is it? Am I just all right or am I the top dog? Right. You know, make it plain. So I'm with you. I think this is great. And you're right. Look, I mean, there are – I know you think, you know, all these players just want to hang out, and there is a little bit of that. There's no question.
Come on, Chris. This is the AAU era where everybody played with everybody. Everybody knows everybody. It's totally different. It just is. With the traveling teams and all the other stuff that people do, football, they have a big 7-on-7 thing that they do all over the country where guys – play against each other, you know what I mean, that they didn't do in the past. And I'm telling you, you know more about people and know more people. The way they rank people, the way you can watch people on YouTube. Do you know what I'm saying? You have more knowledge of people now than you ever knew.
Yeah, no question. You get to know them at a younger age. But I do think at times we romanticize, and myself included, we romanticize the past, like everybody hated each other. Now, Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain were friends. You know, Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas were really good friends.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You won't give the Patriots any credit tonight because they're going to beat a bad team in the Indianapolis Colts. And that's true. All right? The Colts are bad. There's no defending them. They're 1-3, could be 1-2-1, but, you know, Frank Reich went for it, and hey, that's all right. He's an alpha male, and he wanted to flex. It just didn't work. But here's my problem with the Colts, Rob. My problem with them is that they've got, and say what you want about Andrew Luck, he's a very good quarterback, and in the past has been arguably a great quarterback. He's certainly a great quarterback talent. And I would contend that the Indianapolis Colts are wasting him. Wasting him. First of all, he's been beaten to smithereens because they haven't had an offensive line. And they tried. Their old GM, Ryan Grigson, he drafted offensive linemen after offensive linemen after offensive linemen. 10 of them in his 5 years and still couldn't get it right. And I'm just saying, I hate, dude, I'm all upset about Green Bay because they haven't put superstar talent around Aaron Rodgers. And for them to only have one Super Bowl in his 10 years as a starter, I think is bad because he's better than that. But Indianapolis has done makes Green Bay look like they were bringing in all pros after all pro after all pro to play with Aaron Rodgers. It's been terrible.
But the issue here is they were able to get to, in the Packers side, NFC Championship games, close to going to Super Bowl, and they weren't bringing in. You're right. And the same thing. The Colts went to the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. So they felt like, hey, we could do this without having to go out and add those other players. I totally agree with you, and that's what's happened. And so you look, and then he gets the injury, right? And now he's trying to come back, and I don't know if he'll ever be what people thought he was going to be or if he'll ever get to that point. But it's definitely, well, when I look at Andrew Luck, I just see a guy going the other way, not rebounding and moving forward and still maybe perhaps is going to be that guy who people thought he was years ago when he first broke into the league.
Well, as you mentioned, he got them to the AFC Championship game. It was very similar to Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying he was Aaron Rodgers.
No.
But it's very similar in that they got there on the strength of their quarterback and didn't have a ton around him, and that kind of fooled the front office. You know, and the thinking that they had better players elsewhere than they really did. I think the thing now is that even though Andrew Luck is still obviously a very good starting caliber quarterback, he is no longer a guy that can carry a team. And it was even, you know, he threw a lot of interceptions even before he got hurt and all that. But now he needs help. Right? I mean, you always need help, but Aaron Rodgers, there are a few guys that can make you very good as a team, even if they don't have a ton of help. He's no longer one of them. He's no longer one of them. And now it is more apparent than ever that they have got to get this guy some help or he's going to get beat up. Now the new GM admitted, you know, in the offseason, I screwed up. I should have fixed the offense.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Speaking of family, though, Rob.
Yes.
We got a family member on the line now. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's a Fox Sports NFL analyst. Great. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Jennings. He's a Tiger Woods fanatic. I'm not going to ask him what happened during
the Ryder Cup. Don't bring that up. Oh, I don't know.
He might hang up. He was bragging last week, a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Now I don't think he's got anything to say about Tiger.
Don't mention Tiger, please.
Mr. Jennings, welcome to the Odd Couple.
I mean, I'm you know about I had to put right it. Now.
Oh, you're going to hang up on us. You can't do that. We're brothers. You can't hang up on us.
Hey, well, you give it out, you got to be able to take it. You dish it, absolutely. You got to be able to take it.
100%
all right, Greg,
agree.
Let's get right to it. Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people think he just straight up threw Mike McCarthy under the bus. He clearly was criticizing the offensive play calling. We know in the past Aaron hasn't always wanted to take any blame for anything. You've pointed that out yourself years ago. What do you make of this situation between Rodgers and Mike McCarthy in Green Bay?
I mean, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Look, when you are dealing with arguably the best talent that the quarterback position has ever seen, you have to be above par at all times, and you have to challenge them. You have to give them and put him where he feels like in the best position to where he can make things happen for you as a head coach, for you as an offense, and ultimately for you as a team. And so this is water that they've both been swimming in for a long time. They've bumped heads several times. In my tenure there, it's not been something that has not been known. This has been known. But this is where I think you get the best out of Aaron Rodgers and you get the best out of Mike McCarthy, because when someone calls you out, they're not going to go back and forth publicly. No, they're going to deal with it, but more importantly, they're going to deal with it in a sense of, I have to make sure I'm being accountable. I'm doing my job as a play caller, because we all know Aaron Rodgers is, he's typically going to do his job. So, I mean, I think this is just family life. You talk about family, this is just family bumping heads. Not agreeing on different things, but they'll figure it out.
Greg, let me ask you, let me follow up. How much input does Rodgers have in the game plan?
He has a lot of input, a lot of input. Every Monday and Tuesday they get together, and basically what Mike wants to know is what are your thoughts going into this week? You've watched some of the film already. What are some of your thoughts going into the week? What do you like? What do you not like? And they do it throughout the entire week. You know, they'll go through plays, and if Aaron doesn't like it, then they may get rid of it. If he doesn't, if he does, they may keep it. And it goes the same for Mike McCarthy. He has to be able to show what he does like is going to work, and that they can execute it throughout the week to make him feel comfortable enough to call those plays throughout the course of a game.
So is it fair then for Aaron to kind of call out the game plan if he's involved with it?
Well, when I say he's involved, he's nodding his head yes, he's shaking his head no. That doesn't mean everything that he nods his head yes at is selected and is in the game plan, and everything that he doesn't like is then exited out of the game plan. That's not the case whatsoever. However, it is. Majority of the time, if Aaron likes something, it's going to be on the call sheet coming up this week. If he does not and he's uncomfortable with it, then it's not. You got to think about it. This is the guy who's running your offense. If he's not comfortable with something, then why would you put him in a position to where he's running something or calling a play and then having to execute something that he doesn't really believe in?
Hey, Greg, the Colts are playing the Patriots for Thursday Night Football, of course, on Fox. And Frank Reich, the coach of the Colts, called a very controversial fourth down play in his own territory, resulted in losing a game that looked like they had it, at least a tie, I should say, and instead it wound up being a loss. As a player, when a coach does that, because I know a lot of players came to his defense and said, hey, we love that, you know, showed his aggressiveness, but it was a loss in a game that should have been a tie. How do you look at that? Do you look at that and say, what is the coach doing? Does he know what he's doing? Or are you all in no matter what happens?
Look, if I'm on that team, I'm all in. But if I'm where I am now as a player, I can appreciate that, because you're basically telling your guys, look, get it done. This is on you. But if it does not work, it can create, however, some tension between players and coach, to where you're on one end or the other, where some disagree, some agree, and that can create a little rift in the locker room environment, let alone just the organization. And so given that situation, you got to take what's guaranteed or the surest thing. And the surest thing was to just settle for the tie at that point. Like, that was, if you miss, great. That's not on you anymore. But you have to give everybody their opportunity to do their part. And I just felt like in that situation, look, man, I get it. You want to go for the win. If it works, we're not even talking about it. But if it doesn't, this is what you have, a situation where, look, you could have at least tied. And ties, whether we like them or not, they tend to favor the teams that have them when the season comes down in week 17, where we're looking at records, and a team that has one extra loss and you have that tie, you have the advantage.
It's the iCouple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. We're joined by Fox Sports NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Greg, Richard Sherman came out today and said the reason for these video game type numbers from NFL quarterbacks, and you've seen it, passing yards, passing touchdowns, everything is up, I mean, to record levels thus far. He said it's all because of the rules changes and how hard it's making it for defenders to defend. Do you agree with that?
Of course. What is it?
So it's not like these new quarterbacks are just better than they've ever been. It's lot of the rules.
Look, these quarterbacks, it's almost like playing with everything in your hand. You have every possible card that you need to trump the other player. Look, when you can throw the ball and you know as a receiver and as a quarterback that, well, he can't get hit now if he's a defenseless receiver. So I don't really have any issue with throwing a ball in traffic, because now it's on the defender to make a judgment decision, an impromptu judgment decision on, am I going to go for the interception or am I going to go for the technique fundamental hit? Because if he doesn't, then he harms his team anyway. And the same goes with the sacking of the quarterback and the pressures on the quarterback. You about can't breathe on the quarterback the wrong way without getting an extra set of downs and a flag thrown on you. So, yes, it's favorable for the offense. However, you still have to understand rules and regulations. And if you're going to play defense, you got to find a way to make it work. Is it a little unfair? I agree with Richard Sherman 100%. I think it's slighted to the offense, but that's what the fans and the viewers want to see. They don't want to see shutouts. I don't care how many people talk about defense win championships. You want to see points on the board.
Hey, Greg, there was a controversial thing that happened in college football. I just want to get your take on it. Jumbo Fisher grabbed the player's face mask, and a lot of players on Twitter or whatnot went off on Jumbo that they wish he would have done that to them and pushed back. Are you into that? Is that just football and the kids are too soft and they should just accept a coach grabbing them by the face mask, or is there something wrong with that?
You know, I'm Rob. don't put your hand on my face.
I know, like, right?
But hold on, that's NFL.
I'm with you.
I agree.
No, I'm with
but
you.
But Greg, didn't you see that a lot growing up playing football? Come on. High school, junior high, college.
And he never liked it back then,
thank you. I never liked it then, and I don't like it now.
Tell Chris.
The only person that I want and didn't want putting their hands on me was my mother and my father. Outside of that, man, I got a problem if you're putting your hands on me.
But, Greg, look, I'm not saying it's the best optics, and I understand. If I'm an NFL player, we both grown men. All right, don't be yanking my face mask like that. But I think with high school, college kids, I mean, it happens. And like you said, you didn't like it, but, I mean, how many times did the coach do something at those levels that players didn't like? I mean, that was coaching back then.
Chris, you're right. It was coaching back then. And I think the parenting back then kind of coincided with that coaching.
Right, supported.
The parents, exactly. They supported that type and that style of coaching. Whereas now, you can't put your hands on someone else's kid and then expect not only the parent to have an issue, but the kid to have an issue. That's just the society that we're in now.
No doubt.
It's more society. Greg really knows, hey, they soft, but we a soft society now. So
no doubt.
That's how it is.
Hey, Greg, one last thing. We got about a minute to go on Jacksonville. They're my top team in the power rankings.
Loves them, man.
They've given up 4 touchdowns. That defense is something else, and we saw it last year. They got to the AFC Championship game and led 20-10.
I'm just saying.
What do you make of Jacksonville, and are they a real threat to get back to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl?
Well, this is short and sweet. They are a real threat, and what is scary about Jacksonville is their quarterback play.
As much as
we gave Blake Bortles a hard time for his lack of production, he's setting everyone up right now because he is producing. And when you're producing with a defense that will eliminate opportunities for your opponent, your opposition, that's going to be a hard out for anyone.
All right, Greg, last question.
No, that was it. He's done. Greg's got to eat.
No, I'm not. It's not about
it's dinner time.
It's about Dez Bryant. All right, he needs a job. Dallas needs a receiver. Why not a reunion?
That's not happening. You got to understand what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with. Chris, come on. You're dealing with the Jones family. You're dealing with Jerry Jones, who once a decision is made, that's it. That's the right decision. That was the decision that we're going to hang our hat on. We believe in what we have moving forward. He will never back out of a decision that he was made or undo something like that, because it then challenges him in the first decision that was made and to cut and to release Dez Bryant.
So is this starting to get sad now for Dez? Is this sad? Because he's basically, almost begging to get back.
Chris, I honestly felt like the opportunity was missed for Dez on a couple of different occasions, one with Baltimore, and then once he started to price himself out of reach for some of these teams, when you're out, your best bet is to just get back in and then play yourself into another contract. But once you start pricing yourself out of it, you're basically telling them, I'm not playing for what you think I'm worth. I'm playing for what I think I'm worth. And what you think you're worth at that moment when you're out, it's irrelevant.
All right, folks, it's the great Greg Jennings. Great job, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
Hey, Chris.
Yep.
I went to the barbershop today, and the most unbelievable thing happened to me, and I want to get you guys' take on this, and you can chime in if you're listening, 877-99 on Fox about this. So I make an appointment on one of those apps for the barbershop. Supposed to be there 11:15. I got a lunch date. I got to go meet a buddy for lunch, the whole 9 yards. So I don't have a lot of time. I get there. My barber's not there. I said to the other barber, what's going on? He calls him. Yeah, he's on his way. I wait. Chris, 20 minutes go by. I'm like, there's another barber there not cutting anybody. So I said, hey, can you cut me? The other guy hasn't shown up. And I need to get going.
Right.
He says, okay. I sit in the chair, and another barber from across the room says to him, basically, don't cut him. That I was the client of the other barber, as if like we were in a relationship or something, and I was cheating on him. That's what he made me feel like. I was cheating on him because he wasn't there.
Wow.
So then the other guy goes, hey, what do you want me to do here, man? I don't want to get into this. He goes, if I don't cut the guy, he's talking like I'm not in the room. I'm sitting right there. If I don't cut the guy, we're going to lose a customer. He'll never come back. And I said to the other guy who didn't want him to cut me, I said, absolutely not. If I don't get a haircut right now, I'll never come back to this barbershop. And the other guy says, let him go. Like basically told the barber not to cut me. Let him go.
Bye, Felicia.
Because My regular barber didn't show up for a scheduled appointment.
Wow.
And I, you know,
And you know barbershops because you have
one. I owned one for 16 years. This makes no sense to me. And they did lose me as a customer today. I wound up, you see, Alex, I got a fresh cut because I went to another barbershop.
Yeah, they're the right one.
Right? And they took care of me.
Well, but, how long had you been? Look, I cut my own hair, so I don't know. I'm not as much. I've been to barbershops, got my hair cut, but I never had a relationship with one barber over time. How many times? This guy only cut you once?
For a month. No, about a month. About three or four times.
So that's maybe, three or four times.
Right. Rob,
I mean,
G,
that's
though.
It's not like you were there with him for years.
No, not at all. I was still feeling him out. I could have changed barbers in the shop. You know, you try somebody out. But Rob G, you cut guys' hairs. And you're siding with the barber for not giving me service?
I am. You know, I did cut hair back in the day.
What?
And no, Rob, I'm not being recruited to Sporty Cuts Los Angeles when you open it 2019.
Hey, you are going to cut for me on the weekend.
Absolutely not. But yeah, you know, I used to cut my friend's hair back in the day. And let me tell you, I used to be able to tell if I'd gone, you know, a month, 2 months between haircuts, if they had got another trim between when I cut it and before. And let me tell you, that kind of stuff feels like you've been cheated on.
Oh, look at you.
If you're someone's barber. I know dudes who are more.
What if you didn't show up? That's different. This guy was late.
Yeah,
he had an appointment with Rob.
He was 20 minutes late.
It's his problem.
But the other barber, he knows, like, hey, there's one thing you don't infringe on. You can go and talk to my wife before you can talk to my barber.
What?
Let me tell you.
Man, oh, please.
Hey, 877-99 on Fox. Are you in a committed relationship with your barber? Because that's what it felt like to me. I mean, Alex, tell me, what's going on?
All right, Rob, I got to be real with you, man. It's a real commitment. It's a real thing.
What?
If you go onto YouTube, there are videos made of relationships between barber and their clients. It's a true thing. They will catch you slipping outside if you have gotten your hair cut by somebody else, and they will break up with you on the spot if need to be. It's a relationship. It's a real commitment. True fact. I've had one barber for the last 3 years. He's the only one that cuts my hair.
Unbelievable. But here's my only dilemma. I gotta have my hair cut for I'm doing the show tomorrow, right? I need a haircut and then I got a radio show. I don't have other time.
See, I understand that he was late, so you have to do stuff, but it is a true thing that you can't let somebody else touch your hair if he's your client, basically. It's a thing. You
crazy.
Can't do it.
Hey, let's get Deb in here. I know with hairdressers and stuff, it might be the same. Deb, help me out.
Here's the deal, though. If you have to do TV and your guy is 20 minutes late and you explain to the other guy, say, hey, can't you just do me a solid and cut my hair right now? Or can you do you not have the cell phone of your barber?
Yes, I text him during the 20-minute wait, Deb. And you know what I said? Dude, I have to go to lunch. You know, I have a lunch appointment and I'm under the gun. And, you know, can you help me out with, you know, like, are you on your way? He never texts me back.
Okay, I'm on your side then, because this is a short-term relationship. This is like going out with somebody two times. And then,
I
just need somebody to have, not a date. You don't have to have somebody to have dinner with, obviously.
Right.
I go with you, though. I think that the guy should have cut your hair because you were in a pinch. He should have then explained to his friend, the other barber, if he ever showed up, that, listen, you didn't show up. You can have him back next time, but I needed to, you know, get this done for him.
And you know what
I did? And then I would never go back.
No, what I did was the guy who wouldn't text me back to tell me, hey, I'm 5 minutes away or I'm parking the car or whatever. He never responded back.
That's bad business.
Right. So I texted him and I said, I'm done. I'm never coming back to the shop. And then I blocked his number.
And then you should tweet the name of the shop.
Unbelievable.
These barbers are like the rest of this generation.
Whoa, whoa, Chris, you cut your hair, man. You can't be talking about barbershops. Yeah. You don't go to a barbershop.
Hold on. In college, I used to cut dudes' hair.
I bet.
Now, I was not very good of a barber, you know, but guys saw my cuts, which were pretty fresh, and they thought I could cut their hair like I could cut my own, which I couldn't. I jacked up a few college teammates, actually.
I didn't realize that you got your hair cut. I thought that hair was taped.
Oh,
look at that. All right.
Hey,
it's like, hey, that's
hey,
right.
Hey,
no
hey,
no
hey,
drum
hey,
roll
wait
on that
wait
one.
Wait
no drum roll
hey,
on that one.
Hey, let's go to Mike in Kentucky. Let's go there. All right, hey, Mike, you're on the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I run into a similar issue like this just the other day, right? So I'm running behind. I go to the barbershop. I got just a few minutes to get my hair cut. It's on the way home from work. I stop in there, and I've been going to the barbershop, the same barbershop, for, I don't know, the past 6 months. And I've been bouncing around between barbers, and I found one that I really like in there, and I'm like, all right, you know, that's going to be my barber. So I slide in there, and I'm waiting. My barber's not there. There's only one guy in there, and I'm sitting. And I'm like, all right, you know what, forget it. I'm going to let the other guy cut my hair. I'm sitting there getting my hair cut, and in the process of it, my barber walks in with his lunch. He went out to get his lunch. So the whole time I'm sitting there staring at him, feeling bad, and he's kind of off in the corner looking at me a little sideways, and I'm feeling like I'm cheating on him, like I just got caught, like my girl walked in on me with another woman.
Unbelievable.
So what? How did it end? Did you guys say anything to each other?
No, I didn't speak to him. He didn't speak to me.
It's over.
And I know he's looking at me funny because I always leave like a tip. I almost double my haircut cost because, you know, I'm a good tipper.
Right.
And the worst part about it is I got to go back in 2 weeks because he's supposed to be cutting my hair for my wedding.
Ooh.
Nah. Don't let him cut it.
I don't know if I'd let him touch your hair.
Can't do it.
Hey, Mike, right, appreciate it. Thanks for chiming in on that. Unbelievable. We got a relationship with the barbers. I like having a barber, but if you're going to be late, I'm walking out.
Yeah, he can't blame anybody but himself. It's his fault.
I had the nerve to make an appointment on an app, Chris. I made an appointment.
So here's the million-dollar question. Is this cut that you got elsewhere better
Absolutely.
Than the job that they used to do? Really?
Yeah, the cut I got today, I
sense some spite in that.
And you know what? He won't be invited to work at Sporty Cuts LA when I open next year.